This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The old adage, may you live in interesting times, sir. We certainly are living in interesting times. How's the first couple months been on the job?
Mission accomplished. Honestly, it's been great. I think I spoke to you some weeks ago and made the point that this is it's really an honor, a privilege to be doing it. And I'm the 54th elected senator from Pennsylvania. And to be the elected senator from Pennsylvania is a big deal at any moment. But it's particularly a big deal at this moment because it's hard to imagine a more consequential time where there's so much changing in our nation's history. And, the roadmap's pretty clear for me in terms of what I'm trying to get accomplished because I laid it out very specifically during the campaign about, you know, taking on fentanyl and stopping the flow of folks across individuals across the border and in terms of unlocking our energy sector, in terms of trying to get our economy back on track, dynamic opportunity for families across Pennsylvania. So the roadmap's clear. President Trump's leading the charge on many of those issues, and I'm trying to be a great representative of our Commonwealth.
We just sat through hours and hours and hours of budget testimony and budget hearings here in Pennsylvania in the state legislature. And I want to ask you a couple of things, concerns that they have at the federal level. One of those cuts to Medicaid and Medicare and possible effects on Pennsylvania, our DHS secretary saying in her words, could be catastrophic to Pennsylvania's seniors and disabled and also devastating to already struggling healthcare providers, especially in the rural parts of Pennsylvania. What do you say to people who are worried about not only their benefits, but how downstream things like, again, those healthcare systems, how that might affect them?
Well, President Trump made very clear, and so did I during the campaign trail, that he was not in favor of any cuts to Social Security or Medicare. And with regard to Medicaid, my position is and will continue to be that I don't think we should cut any benefits, but across that program and all programs, we should be very aggressive about looking for waste, fraud, and abuse. And the GAO, which is the Government Accountability Officer, a nonpartisan organization, has said that they think there's something like $250 to $500 billion of waste across the federal government. And we see through the DOGE process, which is meant to rein in government and give transparency to the American people, that there's a lot of things that their money's being spent on, the taxpayer money, that's not consistent with what most voters would think is a good idea. So so I say to those folks, don't worry. There's not going to be any effort to cut your benefits, certainly that I would support. But embrace the idea that your government has gotten out of hand. $35 trillion of debt, $1 trillion interest payment, a $2 trillion deficit, a growth in headcount in the last 4 years under President Biden of 200,000 new federal workers. You know, every president including Bill Clinton and Al Gore. And Barack Obama got up and said, we're going to rein in government, we're going to stop the spending, we're going to get control of the bureaucracy. Nobody did. And President Trump's making a real effort to do that. And you got to be bold in doing that. And that's what this effort's about. And it's to serve and support all Americans and all Pennsylvanians.
Not to go off the path, but as you speak about DOGE and how things are unfolding, as a member of the U.S. Senate, is there any concern that how do you respond to critics who say that this is executive overreach, that this should be done working with Congress?
Well, I think that Elon Musk was up on the Hill last week and we had a lunch with him in the Senate to talk about what DOGE is doing. I think first I'd point to what President Trump said, which is that if there's any dispute around executive power, that it would be resolved in the courts, and he would accept what the court said. And also what he said about the role of Congress in terms of that's where the money comes from. So I think the president is very aware of the system of checks and balances and respects it. At the same time, he's made a lot of promises. He's trying to get a lot of things done. And the DOGE effort, I've been a CEO of a couple of different companies. When you're trying to make big change happen, you have to be bold. You have to make big assertions and big shaping moves. You can't do it, incrementally and 2% at a time. And when you do that, you're going to make some mistakes. There's no way to launch big, bold moves perfectly. And so the key when you're undertaking something like this is to have a mechanism where you're getting constant feedback of things that may not have made sense, even if the overall effort does make sense, and you can make the changes and adjustments on the fly. And so that's, I think, what's happening. And, Elon Musk would be the first person to say, hey, we're going to get it 90% right. And for the 10% that's not right, we need to make sure we get the feedback and make changes. Let me give you an example. There was in the Department of Agriculture, through the DOGE efforts, there were some folks let go that were working on bird flu. And as you know, we have a big issue with bird flu in Pennsylvania. We had to kill 2.4 million chickens over the last month or so. That wasn't a good idea to get rid of the folks that were working on bird flu. So they got the feedback that didn't make sense. They made a quick turn. They brought those folks back in. Ideally, you wouldn't have wanted that to happen, but it did happen. And the key is that you got a quick response and you correct any mistakes. And I think you're going to see that getting better and better with time.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to budget hearings, there were similar warnings from Pennsylvania's Department of Education Secretary about the federal Department of Education. And specifically, she said she talked about decades it's taken to build our current education system, pointing out the current belief that every child deserves an education, which really wasn't in many ways there before the Department of Education. If the Department of Education's abolished, she says, or she's concerned that belief may go with it. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's overly
dire? I don't know who the Secretary of Education is. I think that is a deeply misguided reckoning of history. So that our education system is failing us. So let me start with that. And the only evidence you need to look at is our competitiveness relative to the rest of the world. I think we're 27th or 30th in the world. If you look at the number of kids that graduate from our high schools around the country that can't read and do basic math. So our education system's in decline in relative terms. That's indisputable. There's no arguing that. And the education system at the state level and at the federal level has failed us. And the Department of Education has not been in any way associated with any improvement in education across our country at all. So I don't see any merit in that argument. I do understand that there's federal funding that he or she may be concerned about. And the elimination of the Department of Education by no means means that funding is eliminated. So good programs that make sense can still be funded by the federal government. The question is the Department of Education, can any parent say the Department of Education is making education better for our kids? I don't think there's much evidence that it has. And the key way to make sure every kid has choice or an excellent education is the notion of school choice. And that's what I campaigned on. That continues to be the best path. Every state that's embracing that, whether it's Georgia or Tennessee or Arkansas or Florida, is having significant improvements in the quality of educational outcomes. We need to do the same thing in Pennsylvania. Right now, we have school choice. It's just the school choice for rich people. Because rich people can afford to send their kids wherever they want. The people that are most disadvantaged by our and captured by our current education system are those that have the least options and typically are the most challenged from a socioeconomic perspective. So I guess I have a pretty fundamental difference of view based on what you've said.
I know we're short on time, so rather than me asking a long-winded question, I'll just ask you your thoughts, your stance, your feelings and concerns on Ukraine.
Well, I wrote an op-ed last week, which set a way forward on Ukraine. And essentially, I think the outline of what President Trump has described could be the outline of a good outcome for America, for Ukraine, and for Europe. And that's essentially a cessation to the fighting. It's killed millions of people in Ukraine and Russia, hundreds of billions of dollars of national treasure down the drain. So that's one. Number two, have an economic arrangement with the United States, which would allow the American taxpayers to probably get some reimbursement for what they've done. But way more important than that, it would align Ukraine and America with a common set of economic interests, which would make it much more difficult for Russia's further aggression down the road. The third thing I think is the Europeans to step up. The Europeans have not, even to this day, spent what they promised on NATO, which is 2% of GDP. They're still closing the gap. And they need to be the ones that provide the primary security arrangement with Ukraine to protect from further Russian aggression. Russia is the aggressor here. They invaded. They've been essentially coming after Ukraine for 20 years, but invaded in 2014. They invaded again in 2022. So the Ukrainians need to have confidence that their sovereignty will be protected. And that's the path I think under that deal, the United States should continue to support with military hardware and intel. But the Europeans need to bear the brunt of this from a security guarantee. And I think that deal could still exist. The meeting in the Oval Office was unfortunate. I think Zelensky showed both a lack of gratitude and grace, President Zelensky. But that shouldn't stand in the way of getting something that's in the best interest of all the key parties.
And we spent a lot of time talking about other things. Let's talk about you for a bit. What are your priorities as you get your feet wet and really dig in here?
Well, you know, if the folks I met on the campaign trail would go back and looked at what I said during the campaign, there were a number of issues. I served my top 10 list that I promised to focus on, but it was primarily stopping the flow of illegal immigrants across the border, stopping the flow of fentanyl, which killed 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year. It was unlocking our energy sector, which is sort of the long pole in the tent of Pennsylvania's economic future. It was through time getting inflation under control and essentially creating a vibrant economy that brought manufacturing jobs back to Pennsylvania and got the American dream back on track, which is essentially the idea that if you work hard and play by the rules, that your kids have a shot at having a good shot at having a better life than you do. That's what we're lacking right now, and it's those are sort of the meat and potato issues that most Pennsylvanians are most worried about.